leading us in worship. You know, I've been sharing in great detail lately about the spiritual armor that God provides for believers who kind of want to be defended, who want to defend themselves from the attacks of the devil. We began with the first piece of armor, which was the belt of truth. We learned that walking in the truth of God's word, walking in the truth of God's Son, walking in the truth of God's Spirit holds the rest of the armor in place. Truly, God's truth triumphs. Then we learn the second piece of the armor is the breastplate of righteousness. And we learn that when we are in practice, what we are in position, God's armor protects our heart. God's righteousness reigns. But our breastplate also reminds us, friend, that the past sins that you've committed is not how you'll be judged as a believer in Jesus Christ. No, as believers, we are acquitted of sin just as if we'd never committed any before in our whole life. And therefore, we now have a right standing with God. And guess what? It's all because of Jesus. Amen. The third piece of armor that we talked about last week is the shoes of the gospel of peace. And those shoes remind us that Jesus died to provide believers with a peace that surpasses all understanding, that will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God's peace prevails. But today, I want to introduce to you the shield of faith. If you'll go in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, I want to reiterate what the Apostle Paul said as he was finishing up this letter to the believers there in Ephesus. And I want to begin again in verse 10. Paul says to those believers, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all," say above all, "above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all," say all "the fiery darts of the wicked one." What does above all mean? Above all means as we dress for success in our battle against the enemy, what is more important than anything is the shield of faith that Paul is talking about right now. Why is that? Why is the shield of faith so important? Well, we know that in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is imperative. It is so important. Think about this. A believer puts on his belt by faithfully believing that there is no truth outside of God because Jesus Christ is the truth. A believer that puts on his or her breastplate believes, friend, that they have a right standing with God, and it's all because of Jesus. A believer that puts on the shoes of the gospel of peace is faithfully trusting that they have a relationship with God. And again, it's all because of Jesus. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." It all comes from Jesus. You see, friend, this shield that I'm talking about today, this shield is what is out front. The shield takes the brunt of the attack. The shield of faith. It's the shield that's out front. It is faith, friend, that is the operating force that makes all the rest of the armor possible. When we properly make use of our faith in Jesus, verse 16 says that we will quench all, you said it, all the fiery darts of the enemy. So we need to make sure that we take up this shield of faith, because there is no strategy, there is no tactic, there is no scheme of the devil that the shield of faith, which is given to us by God, cannot defeat. The shield of faith is so important. Now, Paul was modeling our armor of God after what he saw in the armor of a Roman soldier. And the armor of the shield of a Roman soldier was about 2 foot wide by about 4 foot high. And the shield was actually made of wood, and then it was covered in very, very tough leather. And then this leather in battle would be dipped in water so that when the fiery arrows came from the enemy, they would be quenched before they got to the soldier. Furthermore, the edges of the shield were shaped like that. And the edges of the shield could be interlocked together with other shields. That way, a whole row of Roman soldiers could create not only a wall, but a ceiling that would protect the entire squad of soldiers. I kind of got a slide here, Brother Mike. This is kind of what it looked like. Interlocking those shields together in the front, in the sides, in the rear, and on the top. This was actually called a Roman turtle. And you can see why. Because it protected the entire platoon. Now, I want to ask this. What would you and I do as a church family if today the very worst happened? What if today was doomsday? What if today was our last day? As believers, we know from Scripture that we are safe from God's wrath to come. However, Scripture does suggest that we may see shadows of the end days. We may see a shadow before the rapture of God's people. But as the end approaches, we find that we probably won't be completely immune from hardship. We're going to see and experience some shadows. So the question is, what are we going to do if that were to happen today? Well, I imagine that as a family, we probably do help one another a lot, right? I suspect that we would probably pool our resources so that everybody is provided for adequately. I pray by faith that we would lock shields, amen, so that we could protect one another from the attacks of the enemy. But my point is this. Why wait? Let us experience as Christians a little bit of urgency, right? Because we know not when that day is going to come. Why wait? Let's do it now, right? Let's start taking care of one another now. Let's protect one another now. Let's lock our shields together now. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can kind of see the shadow, can't you? I mean, are we not in a battle every single day? I want to promise you, whether you realize it or not, you are. We're in a battle now, so let us lock shields, our shields of faith, together now. What does Paul say? He says, take up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. Well, the question begs to ask is, what kind of faith? We know that it all begins with saving faith. right? But is that who Paul was talking to here? No. He said, finally, my brethren, right? So he's talking to believers here. So it can't be saving faith that he's referring to. What kind of faith is it? Well, I believe that he's likely referring, being that he's talking to believers, he's talking about daily practical walk of faith. Our daily practical walk of faith to believers. See, daily faith in believers is the assurance that God will be with us and will never leave us no matter what. That's what happens for the brothers. That's what happens for the sisters. Amen. That's what happens for the brethren. And therefore, we know by faith in the Word of God, we know that daily faith is rooted in fact, not feeling. Are you feeling me? It's rooted in fact, the fact of God's Word, not feeling. Despite what quotes and inspirations you may see on Facebook and on Instagram, faith is not about emotions. Faith is not about feelings. Someone may say, well, I just have faith that everything's going to work out okay. The only problem with that is, if God wasn't in it, then they're going to have to come back and say, well, I guess I didn't have enough faith. Right? The problem wasn't the amount of their faith. The problem was in the object of their faith. They didn't have faith in God. They had faith in maybe their own abilities to conquer their problems. Right? I mean, think about this. A man walks out onto an ice-covered pond. Right? He may get out in the middle and find a little surprise. Amen? He may get out in the middle and find a little tragedy. The problem wasn't the amount of faith that he had. He actually had too much faith in that thin ice. The problem was the basis of his faith. His faith was in the wrong object. He put his faith in that ice instead of his wisdom. Let's place our faith in the facts of God's Word, not in feelings. Remember this. Feelings come and feelings go, for feelings are deceiving. My trust is in the Word of God. None else is worth believing. Somebody say amen. Right? So daily faith, friend, is rooted in the Word of God, not in human emotions or feelings. Now, I'll tell you this. Feelings will come. Feelings will come eventually. They will come, but only when your faith is rooted in the facts of God's Word. Furthermore, not only is faith rooted in facts, not feelings, faith also has nothing to do with probability. Evangelist George Mueller started 117 Christian schools in Bristol, England. And through those schools, he discipled, listen to this, 120,000 orphans. That's a lot of kids. Amen. George Mueller once said, the process of faith begins when probabilities cease. The process of faith begins when probabilities cease. You see, it's not probable that a shepherd boy named David would kill a giant with a slingshot. Probabilities say no. Faith says yes. It's not probable that a bunch of Jews could see a wall fall around the city of Jericho just by walking around it seven times. Probabilities say no. Faith says yes. It's not probable that a worldwide flood would come and Noah would be the only one with a boat. Probabilities say no. Faith says yes. It's not probable that a man named Daniel would be condemned to die yet survive the whole night in a den of lions. Probabilities say, no way. Faith says yes. It's not probable that a small country church could make the difference for the glory of God, yet here we are. Hallelujah. Probability, maybe even improbability, doesn't change the fact that God is at work in our midst. You see, doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars high. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, I. Faith, not probabilities. Daily faith is rooted in fact, not feelings. Faith has nothing to do with probabilities whatsoever. Furthermore, faith has nothing to do with appearances. Paul wrote to another group of Christians at Corinth, and he said, for we walk by faith, not by... I have nothing to do with appearances. I have nothing to do with sight. I read that while searching abandoned homes after World War II, Allied forces entered the basement of a home that was in utter ruins from the bombing from the Nazis. They went down into the basement, and it was obvious that a Jewish family had been hiding down there from the Nazis who sought to exterminate every Jew. And scratched into the wall of that basement were these words. I believe in the sun even when it doesn't shine. I believe in love even when it is not shown. And I believe in God even when he does not speak. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Faith has nothing to do with appearances. The Bible even says that faith is the evidence of things, listen to this, not seen. The evidence of things not seen. See, appearances may say, God ain't nowhere to be found. But faith says, my God will never leave me nor forsake me. Appearances may say, everything is on haywire. My life is out of control. Faith says, even the hairs of my head are numbered, and my God is in full control. Appearances may say, brethren, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your money trying to reach lost people from a church out here in the middle of the cornfields. But faith says, I believe Jesus when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're just being faithful, and it don't have to have appearances for us to have that kind of faith. Why would we trust in anything other than the Lord for our security and for our peace? It makes no sense. It's faith in the wrong object. And if we're trusting in other things other than the Lord, friend, we need to take up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith and place our faith in the right object, the Lord our God. See, daily faith is rooted in fact, not feeling. Daily faith has nothing to do with probabilities of whether it's going to happen or not. Daily faith has nothing to do with how things seem. It has nothing to do with appearances. Now, that's how faith is explained. But the point of this message today is how can I see my faith expanded? How can I take my faith from a seed of faith to full surrender to Jesus Christ? How can I take up my shield and increase my faith? That is the question for today. If you want to increase your faith, first you're going to need to realize that faith grows gradually. Faith grows gradually. You don't obtain a strong faith all at once any more than an infant goes into adulthood all at once. It takes time. Faith takes time. It takes time in prayer. It takes time in the Word of God. It takes time in fellowship with God's people. Faith requires proper nutrition, feeding on the Word of God. Faith requires exercise, teaching us to submit to the Holy Spirit, teaching us through the tragedies and the trials, the good times and the bad times, to trust God no matter what. That's how faith is built. That's how faith is increased. For example, many of us know the Old Testament saint Abraham. And Abraham was known for his faith. But check this out. In Abraham's early life, he lacked faith. And then even when he got a little bit older in his older years, Abraham faltered in his faith. And my point is this. Abraham wasn't born a man of faith. Abraham's faith grew gradually. Your faith is going to grow gradually as well. So I guess what I'm telling you is sometimes you got to catch yourself a little slack. Amen? And just realize that we're all under construction. We're all in different areas, different planes of our spiritual walk. We're all in different areas of our faith. Just don't give up. Continue to grow, even if it's gradually. But secondly, faith also grows scripturally. Faith comes, Paul said, by hearing the word of God. You are in the right place this morning if you want to increase your faith, because the word of God will increase your faith. Faith is by nature trust. We are trusting that God has given you, God has given me instructions on how to live my life. He's given me instructions on how I can construct my life, how I can increase my faith. It's trust. And the way you begin trusting someone is by becoming more acquainted with them. Y'all, there are people in this building right now that I would trust with every cent I own. There are people in this room that I would trust with my very life, even the life of my wife. That's a lot of trust. Faith comes, how? By getting to know them. How do I get to this place where I trust them with all my possessions? Where I would trust them with my bride? I get to know them better. I get to know them more and more. And my trust is built. And likewise with the Lord our God, the more we know the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we know about God's power, about God's wisdom, about God's love and his long-suffering and patience with us, the more trustworthy he becomes. But if you don't know him, you probably ain't going to trust him much. David articulated it this way in Psalm chapter 9. He wrote, "The Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed." See, whether you're oppressed, downtrodden, or living high on the hog, it don't matter. The Lord's still a refuge for you. He'll be a refuge in times of trouble. And they will know your name and put their trust in you. For you, Lord, will not forsake those who seek you. The problem is, I fear that many Christians don't seek the Lord and seek an intimate relationship with him that builds trust. We learn that scripturally. But can I tell you, not only is faith built and increased gradually, not only does it increase scripturally, but a lot of times, faith grows painfully. You might have to go through some stuff to increase your faith. You might have to go through broken relationships. You might have to go through tragedy of your own. You might have to go through a struggle. You might have to go through physical affliction. But I can assure you this, if you trust in the Lord, your faith is going to grow. Your faith is going to increase. Think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a great man of faith. But did you know that Paul suffered a whole lot in the name of Jesus? See, often faith and suffering, and listen to this one, and inconvenience go hand in hand. Sometimes faith, suffering, and inconvenience go hand in hand. How do you know, Bill? Well, my favorite apostle, the Apostle Peter, said it this way. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he instructed the Christians he was writing to be sober. And he wasn't talking about drunkenness there. He was saying, be self-controlled. Be sober, be vigilant, that is, be watchful. Because we don't know when that last day is going to show up. Be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. Resist him, Peter said. Well, I read resist him, and I said, okay, Peter, how? Here he comes. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace and he who called you to his eternal glory and Christ Jesus, listen to this, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And can I interject? And your faith. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That evangelist that I mentioned earlier, George Mueller, he once said this, trials, difficulties, and tragedies are the very food of faith. So when you're going through some of that, just realize that the Lord is feeding you. Amen? He just wants you to get full so that your faith can be increased. I read about one boy who was struggling to get the last pieces of a puzzle together. He got so frustrated that he asked his little sister to help him. Literally seconds later, his sister had it done. And the brother scratched his head and said, how did you do it? How did you do it? And the girl said, well, if you look at the front of the box here, I just looked at the picture. You were looking at the pieces. Life is sometimes just like a puzzle. Sometimes it's just like a puzzle, and only God holds the big picture. So you're going to have to trust him to put all the pieces of your life together. When we take up the shield of faith, we are trusting God for what we don't have a clue about. We are trusting God for what we don't understand. We are trusting God to put the pieces of our life in proper order. See, it's not about feelings. It's not about probabilities. It's not about appearances. Faith is rooted in fact, the fact of God's word. It's rooted in fact. It grows gradually, sometimes painfully, but it always grows by the word of God. You want to increase your faith? He's provided every one of us with a copy. It's intended to grow your faith. In Mark chapter 9, one of the Lord's followers had a son who was very sick, not only physically, but also spiritually. And when the father asked Jesus for a little bit of compassion and a little bit of help, Jesus said, if you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. To which this father, recognizing his weakness in the faith, and through tears, cried out and said, Lord, I believe. Only help my unbelief. I believe, Lord. Just help the areas where I don't believe. Maybe that's where you need to begin today. Just right at the beginning. Placing your faith in the only one that can save you from your sins. He's the only one that God has provided to redeem us and deliver us from the bondage and the penalty of sin. So maybe you need to just start at the beginning. But maybe you've been in your journey of faith and you've seen some increase here and there. You've seen some growth, some gradual and maybe painful growth. But maybe you need to trust Jesus by faith that, like me, you're going to have to trust Him to grow your faith. Are you trusting Jesus to grow your faith? All I know is this, y'all. In every single area of my life that I have submitted to Christ, Jesus has proven Himself faithful. And in every single area, my faith has grown. He'll do that for you too. So I say, let's take up our shield. Amen. Let's take up our shield of faith. Let's let our faith in God fortify us in our daily battles. You can do that today for the first time, or you can recognize that you need more Jesus. You need to submit to Christ more so that your faith can be increased. During this time of decision, you can come to receive Jesus as your Savior and the Lord of your life. Or you can come and just say, Brother Bill, I need to pray. I need more faith. Maybe you're like that daddy. Lord, I believe. I gave my life to you a long time ago. But boy, I sure do need to increase my faith. Help my unbelief. If that's you, during this song, it's going to be an opportunity for you not only to come to Christ if you haven't, but also to pray with brothers and sisters that genuinely care for you and want your faith to increase as well as our own. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you so much that just because we come to faith and saving faith in Christ, that that's not the end of our journey. No, Lord, you want our faith to increase. You want it to grow. And Father, we recognize this morning that it grows ever so slowly sometimes. And sometimes that faith, oh, it just so hurts. Sometimes our faith grows through brokenness. Sometimes our faith grows through tragedy. But Lord, we're here as your children, and I think I can make a declaration with my brothers and sisters saying, Lord, we don't care what it takes. We want to have more faith. We want to be more effective in your hand. And Father, we know that's only going to happen when we place our complete trust in you. Father, bless this time of decision today. Lord, if there's one that has never come to Christ and they're tired of not having hope, they're exhausted with the knowledge of thinking that don't even know if I'm going to heaven when I die. The Lord, they can receive that promise today by just placing their faith in Christ, realizing that He did all the heavy lifting. Lord, for that believer that's been struggling and carrying burdens that they don't have any business carrying, Lord, I pray that you would encourage them to come to the altar and let's pray together, so that our faith would be strengthened and the burdens would become lighter because of it. Lord, I thank you for what only you can do. And we give you praise for how you're going to use this time of decision today. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Your love made